On this episode of The Next Step, number 375, we'll be looking at gender equality issues that you didn't hear through the grapevine. In fact, we'll connect the dots between St. Mary the Ostfalzazin, grapes, and our work, our mission, the rhyme and reason for life, in a very unique manner. We'll be putting the St. Mary history lesson to one side and find the answer to the big mystery question. If God created everything, then who created God? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I welcome you to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie of In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armadoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So good to have you with us today. It is another hot one here in Southern California. I am recording from the Glendale studio of epostle.net and looking forward to a great show today. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be connecting some dots, okay? And I promised you last week that I would dedicate this show to the expression of Ostfalzazin. Okay, that is St. Mary's title. Now you say, whoa, you're going back into history. Now you should know better. Father Voskin wouldn't do that to you, right? He wouldn't give you a history lesson. No. We're going to go in different ways. This Sunday happens to be Assumption of St. Mary. And along with that, in the Armenian Church, we have grape blessing. Yes, we bless the grapes. Did you hear it on the grapevine? Well, if you didn't hear it, you're going to hear it over here, okay? You don't need to hear it on the grapevine. You're going to hear it from Father Voskin here on The Next Step. But I'm going to try to connect some dots today because a lot of stuff happened since I left you last week. You know, I was going to give you I was going to go in one direction, and I'm still going in that direction, but with a few more flowers on it because something occurred to me today. Gender equality. We're talking about gender equality here in the States. I don't know how it is in the rest of the world where you're listening to me, but over here there's been a lot of discussion, especially because of same-sex marriage, because of Bruce Jenner telling us that, you know, he's had this sex change operation, and do you feel like a man, or do you feel like a woman? Well, that's all that should matter, and there's all kinds of stuff like that. Now, can we connect this? Can we connect the dots to something as ancient as the Assumption Feast of St. Mary? Well, if you think we can't, you're in for a treat. That's what I'm going to do today. Because it came to me this morning that unless we connect the dots, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's so irrelevant. I go through this so many times, and I know that many of you who've written in share this same sentiment about relevancy. I hear people, and, you know, here in Southern California, we have two Armenian old age homes. They're called the Ararat homes. And once a year on this grape blessing, we go and we bless grapes at the homes. So I happened to go to one of them along with some of my clergy brothers. And, you know, the message was pretty historical. You know, this is what happened. St. Mary was assumed into heaven, and St. Mary's body is not on earth. It went up to heaven, and so on and so on. Then we sang some great old Armenian national hymns, national marches, national songs, nationalistic songs. I'm going, okay. And then Anyway, this was at one of them. So then I opened up our website, our diocesan website, that evening to see the coverage, because I wasn't at the one where our archbishop was at and where the rest of the clergy were at. I wanted to see what the other one did. And sure enough, you open it up and there they are singing Yerevan Yerebuni. What can I tell you when we talk about disenfranchisement, right? And then, on top of it, I know, like many people, you're on with many, many different friends and groups on Facebook. You follow these posts and stuff like that. Well, a small division of my the ones that I follow are also Armenian-related and Armenian church-related. And what are they talking about? What are they talking about? Talking about nationalism, talking about keeping the nation as it is. And then I read bizarre. This is really bizarre, okay? One of the Facebook posts, which is dedicated to an Armenian church on the East Coast, or something like New England Armenian Church, they're raving about, get this, ready? They're raving about the old heathen gods and goddesses. Because these are the people that kept us Armenian and so on and so on. And you know what? You get to a point where, I mean, before you vomit, before you vomit, yes, that's what I said. You just start thinking, like, do we get it? This is why we are so irrelevant. This is why Orthodoxy, this is why, I should say pre-Francis Catholicism has been so irrelevant, because we're not connecting the dots with life today. You know, between the contemporary and the ancient, between the physical, between the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological. And you need to connect the dots if you're going to be attracting people, if you're going to be making the case relevant. Now, some people will argue with you, and I've had this argument, well, Jesus's message or Christianity is always relevant. Yes, that's absolutely true. But what's the package in which you're presenting it? And think about it in strictly in marketing terms. Anything. Did you need a new iPhone this year? Did you need a new iPhone? No, you didn't need one. Basically, what's a phone? It's got to connect you with somebody else. You've got to be able to talk. But what is the secret of Apple? They make you want a new iPhone. Whether it's the sleekness of the packaging, whether it's the extra bells and whistles that you're going to get with it, you just have to have the latest in that technology. And that's really part of marketing, right? And so all of a sudden it becomes relevant. That new iPhone it's relevant to me. I need it. By the way, let me do this disclaimer. I do not own an iPhone. I never will. I don't. I have an HTC. Yes, it is a smartphone. It's the M9, I think it is. Yes, it's a really nice one. I am an Android man. After I gave up my Windows phone, okay, now that's the technology to one side. And I am using Windows 10. It is fantastic. By the way, you know, I don't know how many of you switched over to Windows 10. Isn't it great? It's just, I really enjoy it. But it's not exciting anymore, you know? I go back when Windows 95, 98, when XP, or even Windows 7 when they came out, you know, the upgrade to a new operating system. Oh, wow, we've got to see it do it. Now you go to Windows 10 and it's an operating system, because basically today computers work, right? They just work. It's like a toaster. Right? You have a toaster, you stick the bread in and it works. Today, computers are the same thing. And basically, we all have those computers now in our pockets and these smartphones. And these smartphones connect us with everything else. And that's the technology of today. Within the last 20, 25 years, they've succeeded from taking that brick. If you had one of those early cell phones, which I did, I had this cool thing that came. It was like in a, purse that you would carry with it, and the antenna would be sticking from it, and the receiver actually had one of those coiled cords that went to the main body inside the purse, and you would talk. This is 1993, 94, okay, so about 20, 22 years ago. And then they came out with these nice flip phones, which were size of these little bricks. And then they came into these little mini models that flipped open. And now you've got this iPhone. You've got this smartphone that does everything. And so it's just like the toaster model, right? Probably when toasters first came out, oh, you had to have this or that bells or whistles on it. Nah, you know, you just want something that's going to toast your bread. Well, you just want something that's going to be able to communicate. And same thing with religion. Okay, we want something that's going to be the bottom line. Okay, you want to give us all this history. If you're a history buff, yeah, that sounds great. But what is the relevance to my life today? The toaster is very relevant. I want toast in the morning, so I stick bread in there. The iPhone is very relevant to my life. The smartphone, it's very relevant because, hey, you know, I want to catch up on the latest news. I want to be able to talk to my friends. I want to be able to communicate, send a text out, connect to my Facebook account, tweet out a Twitter feed, and so on and so on. So this relevancy is being handled by technology. Same way. It's no different. And what we do, we start masquerading when it comes to religion. You know, we've got a great product, but we don't want to sell it. And I see this over and over and over again. We've got a great product, and that's what I'm going to be talking about, that product. Okay, that grape that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, that connection with our lives today. But instead, we masquerade it. We say, okay, here's a history lesson. And by the way, there's some nationalism that has to come in there too. And by the way, this works out with our politics and so on and so on. And at the end of the day, you're just confused. So you've walked into a store looking for a product. And instead of them giving you the product, they've given you everything else. So I want a pair of shoes. Okay, my feet are tired. I need a pair of shoes. So I go into a shoe store. And they tell you that, hey, you know what? Shoes aren't important. What's important is the box that it comes in. Or you know what? Even, let's get a little bit closer, okay? It's not the shoe, it's the lace that's on that because it's going to hold it together. But don't worry what the material is on the bottom of the shoe, what the soles are made out of. Don't worry about the material that makes up the shoe, because that really doesn't matter. It's how it's held together, and here's the lace. Okay, so they've given you all this other kind of stuff. Then there's the extra added package, okay, the bonus package. And you know what those are. Those are the sweepstakes, okay? Come and buy from us, and you'll enter into a sweepstake. Okay, so now I'm thinking maybe, you know, that sweepstake prize looks really nice. I think I'll go out for that. And so you abandon the idea of finding this great shoe, and instead you're in there for the sweepstake. I got to put my name on that receipt so that I can qualify for that sweepstake. So I purchased the shoe, and I put my name on the sweepstake. And you know what? I'm a loser. I get home. What do I have? I have a shoe that's uncomfortable. And then guess what? I don't win the sweepstake. I don't win the prize. Sound familiar? Think about our church picnics, bazaars. We do this. And look at my mail. Look at your mail. Look at the stuff that comes out to you. Come to our picnic. Come to our dinner dance. Come to our bazaar. This is serious. I'm really serious about this. There are churches that are gauged by their bazaar, by the quality of the food that is served at the bazaar. Hey, you know what? You haven't had great food unless you go to that church's, XYZ church's bazaar. And I could use those names, but I won't. But this is what we sell. Okay? And why not? Yeah, it's good food. But you're not coming there for food, are you? I mean, if that's the purpose of the church, then it's misleading. They should get out a business license for a restaurant. Not for a church. But instead, we go around the issue. We're not selling the product that we have. And so we're losers, right? You've got a shoe that doesn't fit and you don't win the sweepstake. Come to the bazaar and you get some great food. And you know what? You go home and you've got indigestion. Okay, I just wiped out all the bazaars. You go home and you still have that emptiness because your soul needs feeding and you're not feeding that soul. We're making up all kinds of excuses. And so this is what we try to do over here on The Next Step. We connect dots. And today, I want to connect some dots for you. Because some things really came into really clear focus for me. Just this morning, actually. Because I was thinking about, you know, all that we've been talking about. And this big discussion of gender equality. And here I am. I'm going to be talking about St. Mary. And I'm going to be talking about in terms that you probably have not heard before. And then I realized, wait a minute. St. Mary, she's a woman. How are men going to relate? Well, absolutely they're going to relate. Gender equality. Yeah. Yeah, it goes beyond gender. That's what I want to share with you today, okay? Are you on board with me? I hope you are, because that's what we're in store for. Got a lot of email this week, and I promised you over the last few sessions, I said that slowly we will dissect email one by one. We'll make them issues here on the show so that we can share those emails with other listeners, because you got to believe there's so many people who have the same concern. So we're going to be going through that in the next few weeks. I did check out some of the latest religion news. You know, one I've shared with you in the past, some of his writings, some of his sayings is President Jimmy Carter. Whether or not he was a good president, history will tell. I know there's so much negativity about his presidency. It was in the aftermath of a resignation of a president and aftermath of Watergate over here. Big scandals which followed the assassination of a president, the civil rights movement, and then you've got this Jimmy Carter. But one thing about him is he was a man of faith and man of principle. Turns out that he's got liver cancer that has spread pretty bad. And we just got that news today, actually. I read that and was very saddened. And, of course, we'll keep him in our prayers as well. But along with all the other religious news, I want to ask you something. Where do you get your religious news from? Because, you know, where do you get news in general from? Isn't that a valid question? You know, when I teach children about bias... about looking beyond, and I do this with all the youth groups, and I do this with the classes that I teach in junior high and high school age kids. I start them off thinking about where information comes to them. And I give them this simple little story. You read in the newspaper, or today you read online, that one of the major food chains, let's use Burger King, okay? Burger King has served a hamburger in which, instead of the meat patty, the man has found that there was a rat. I know, disgusting. Yeah. There's been a rat found in that hamburger. Guy bit into it. And then is now suing the restaurant chain for serving this rat-infested food. Literally rat-infested, right? I said, that's a disgusting story, isn't it? And everybody, of course, all the kids, nobody wants to talk about that, even think about it. And, you know, it just turns the stomach thinking about it. I said, do you believe that story? Well, yeah, we believe it. We read it. And then, of course, somebody will say, yeah, you've eaten at Burger King, it's no good. And, well, we compare it with McDonald's, and then, whoa, Jack in the Box, and so on. And then you get your usual discussion about comparative foods. Now I ask them, you believe it because you read it. You read it someplace. And that's very powerful, the power of the written word. It's very, very powerful. But you believe it, right? Because it's written. Now, what if you saw on that same page that you were reading that story that this story or the newspaper, one of the major sponsors of the newspaper was McDonald's. Yes, the burger chain. Well, when I talk to kids, I'll say, how about if you see that Ronald McDonald was the sponsor of that page? Well, does that make you question the story about the rat? It should. It should, right? Because there are biases. Because there are interests. Okay, McDonald's definitely has an interest. What is their interest? To sell more hamburgers. And if they can lessen the sales at a competitor's store, right, their sales will go up. So I'm not saying that the story is wrong, but it should put a question mark on the legitimacy of that story. Now let's come to some bigger issues. When you read a story, now right now here in America, politics has started early. Usually it's right after Labor Day that the elections or the news of the elections begin. This year it's quite early because we're having competitors. Now we get information from all kinds of sources. Do you trust it because it's written? Well, as you mature, you understand that you have to look at who is the sponsor, who puts it out. And the same thing with religious news. I scan through so much, so many different articles, so many different stories. It's always interesting where these come from. And there is a really cool app. If you don't have it, I would suggest that you get it. It's called Flipboard. It's really, really nice. It makes it very easy for me because you put in a few different things that you want, that you're interested in, and it goes out and it finds these stories and really gives you a really nice reading experience. But when I opened up the religion page on this app, you've got stories that come from BuzzFeed and Huffington Post, from Salon and Business Insider. Well, what does Business Insider say? Why Mark Zuckerberg wants everyone to read this book about religion. Okay, so I guess that's kind of, it's really about a Business Insider. Yeah, okay. Huffington Post seems to be doing some stuff. I know Huffington Post does have a cool, cool connection to religion. Al Jazeera, talking about outrage over Israeli politicians' reform. How about India arrests over the bid to sell 410-year-old Quran? Now, this comes to us from the BBC. Now, do you believe that? How about The Blaze? The Daily Beast? People Magazine? Let's see what the celebs are doing. And now they're commenting about religion as well. It's just interesting where all these sources of religion are coming. You know, it interests me because you don't do anything else this way, but when it comes to religion, it's okay. Everybody has their comments about it. Like, you know, you develop some kind of unknown disease. You want to find more about it, right? You go on the website, you open up, you Google this disease, but eventually, don't you end up finding some kind of authority? Some kind of person who has some knowledge of that beyond what the website says? I have shared that with you many times. You know, would you trust your car to be fixed, the brakes on your car to be fixed by somebody who read a website about brake repair? I wouldn't. Would you? I definitely would not. You know, you take your car in and say, need brakes. I need to be able to stop when the light is red. I want to stop. I don't want to go through. And the guy says, oh yeah, don't worry about it. I read a website about it. I know how to fix it. No, I wouldn't trust that guy. Somehow when it comes to religion, now we're okay. You know, I read the Bible. Okay. You read the Bible, now you're authority on it. I read a website about Christianity, so I know what Christianity is about. Now we're going to go to the source. We're going to Armadoxy, okay? Going to take a little break right now. I play the song of the day every every week. I guess we should call it the Song of the Week. Sometimes we do, I think. Anyway, here is the selection for this week. Enjoy, and I'll be back in a couple minutes. Pretty cool monastic voices, huh? Isn't that nice? Yeah, that is called Havun Havun. That is an introit from the Armenian liturgy. I believe it's a Gomidas Vartabed creation, and it is celebrated by the Vazgenyan students at the Vazgenyan Seminary at Lake Sevan. And I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but everything that they put together. I don't know if they're still available even, but I have copies of these that I picked up when I was in Armenia back in 2009. And just, I listen to them regularly. Just beautiful voices. Just takes you back to the most ancient of all times. Havun Havun is the name of that song. Let's do some grapes, okay? Coming up. Where did you hear it? Did you hear it on the grapevine? No, I hope you heard it over here. Yes, here is the next step. The Armodoxy explanation of it all. You have to hear it over here. This Sunday, believe it or not, here in Glendale, Southern California, we will have millions of grapes. There is a unique tradition this Sunday when we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption of St. Mary. The Armenian Church has a unique celebration of grape blessing. And we will have just people bring in grapes. And yes, this is in the middle of a heat wave, in the middle of a drought, an unprecedented drought since recorded history, something like that. Okay, it's a big drought over here. It's very hot. And yet we're going to have this delicious, succulent grape to feast on. Actually, the feast is what we feast on, and the feast is the Assumption of St. Mary. And as I promised, I would talk about it, but connecting it and making it relevant by talking about a gender neutrality or equality issue on top of it all. Well, here goes, okay? This Sunday is the Assumption Feast. Now, this feast has historic backing. It comes to us from the time of the early Christian church, when the tradition tells us that St. Mary's tomb was empty. All the disciples had gotten together to participate in St. Mary's funeral, except for the disciple Bartholomew. Now, Bartholomew, who is he? He's the one who comes to Armenia right around in the year 44. Okay, so Bartholomew is not there when the Blessed Mother falls asleep, and that's the expression that we use. We don't say she died, we say she fell asleep, nencetzial. And so she fell asleep in Christ, and he goes and he wants to see the Blessed Mother. And when they open the tomb, it's empty. And the tradition tells us that Christ assumed her into heaven. Different from ascension, where Christ on his own power ascended into heaven, Assumption, she was assumed into heaven for being this very special, unique saint, one that is called to be the birth giver of Christ. Now, in Armenian, we call her Astvazadzin, the birth giver of God, the mother of God, Astvazamair. Now, we use these expressions about her, and people sometimes get all hung up about, well, how could God have a mother, have a birth giver? Well, listen to this, okay? Here's the connection for you. But let me start off with the grapes, okay? Because they are fantastic. So people bring grapes, and this has to do with the first fruits. They bring the first fruits for a blessing. Now, depending on how innovative the priest may be, and hint, hint, over here in Glendale, what I do is I ask people to bring anything that is their first fruit. Traditionally, in Armenia at this time, the grapes would be ripe for picking, and the farmers would bring in their grapes for a blessing. Now, today, we don't have that many farmers in Glendale, if any. But certainly we have programmers, we have engineers, we have doctors, we have gas station attendants, we have cell phone distributors. So what we ask is for them to bring a sample of their work for a blessing. And this usually manifests itself in the form of business cards. People bring their business cards. And it is basically saying a thank you to God for the beautiful, abundant blessings that we have and asking for a special blessing upon the work that we do with our hands. And so it's not just necessarily about grapes, but it's about our work. And in the year 301, when St. Gregory brought Christianity to Armenia, there was this tradition where the farmers would bring their first grapes, and he Christianized it and put it on this feast day of St. Mary. And so this tradition of grape blessing goes back to the time of St. Gregory. Now, during the service, these grapes are blessed and then distributed out to the people. And it's incredible. You can't believe how many grapes. Sometimes our altar area is hidden by the boxes of grapes. That's how high these grapes boxes get. So we distribute it to the community members, of course, to the poor, to the sick. And the uniqueness of the grape is very special. First of all, it is succulent, it is delicious, but it does have a biblical counterpart to it, and it comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. it is there that we read Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, to get an idea of this, you have to kind of do a little bit of botany, biology, understand that grapes grow on vines. You heard it through the grapevine, right? Okay. So, the vine is what is connected to the ground, and it gets its nutrition from the earth, and it has these beautiful leaves on it, and the leaves gather its nutrition and the heat from the sunlight. And then there are branches, and these branches have the grapes on them. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, the one who takes care of all of this, and you, in other words, you and me, us, we are the branches. And then he gives this beautiful visualization. He says, that branch has to be connected to the vine for it to bear fruit. Well, yeah, obviously. If that branch is not connected to the vine, it just withers away. But if it is connected, it gets the nutrients from the soil, it gets the sunlight, and it pulls in everything to make these delicious, succulent grapes. You know, that delicious, how do you say that je ne sais quoi quality that the grapes have? Well, today we can have grapes any time of the year because of modern technology, because of refrigeration units. But think about it. In August, in Armenia, this is the time that the grapes would be ripe. And you can imagine in the heat and the dryness how rich of a flavor it was. How satisfying to the palate it was. And Jesus said, this is a delicious, delicious fruit. But it is only delicious as long as those branches are connected to the vine. And then he makes the comparison to us. He says, you are the branches. Now, if you want to bear fruit, coming back to your work, if your work wants to be fruitful, you have to be connected to the vine. You have to be connected to Christ. Now, most people will like to say, okay, well, what does this mean? You know, in other words, we can't be fruitful if we're not connected to Christ. Well, no, you can't. What? Well, what about all the other people? Okay, hold on. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Okay, now let's continue. Let's look at St. Mary now, okay? Who is St. Mary? We call her Astvadzadzin, the bearer of God. Astvadzamair, meaning the mother of God. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful expression, but it does give the problem of, well, isn't God infinite? Doesn't God predate even Mary and everybody else, for that matter? So how could God have a mother or a birth giver? Well, that's exactly the point. Astvadzadzin means birth giver of God. When you think about it, what have we taught you in Ormodoxy? The words of St. John, who says, God is love. The words of St. Nerses Shnorhali, the name of love is Jesus. Ah, St. Mary gave birth to Jesus. What did St. Mary do? She gave birth to love. Oh, I got it. St. Mary is the birth giver of love. The vine is Christ, is love. Therefore, the branches have to be connected to love if it's going to be fruitful. So when Jesus says, unless you are connected to the vine, you can bear no fruit, what is he saying? Unless you are in love, unless you do everything with love, you will not have that delicious fruit. Think about that for a moment, okay? We are the ones who complicate these things. It's so simple. The expression is given right there in nature. That branch has to be connected to the vine for it to give its fruit. And that vine is Christ, is Jesus. That vine is love. The branches have to do everything in love. And think about it in your life. The work that you do, you have to do it in love for it to bear good fruit. That fruit, that succulent fruit, that delicious fruit. And that branch may look beautiful. You may look beautiful. Everything about you may look beautiful. But unless you are connected to the vine, you're dead. And that death can be pre-grapes or after grapes, right? Sometimes we are dead and we therefore we don't produce the fruit. Sometimes we've produced the fruit and then we say, oh, well, that's enough. I've had it. I don't want it anymore. We cut ourselves off from the vine. What happens to the fruit at that time? It withers. It becomes raisins, chumich. Now, who wants that? Well, actually, they're pretty delicious, but think about the look of it, the feel of it. It's just wrinkled fruit. You don't want to give wrinkled fruit in your life. You want to give succulent fruit. You want to give that great fruit from your life. So what do? You've got to be connected to love. Now, gender equality. Let's go there for a few moments. We've been hearing so much about same-sex marriage. We've been hearing all over the place about how gender really is a state of mind, especially with the revelation made by Bruce Jenner. He had a sex change operation. He had things done to himself. And now he appears as a woman. And so it's captured a worldwide audience who say, wow, it's not about what the plumbing is all about, but it's about an inside feeling. Well, it's the same thing with St. Mary, isn't it? We look at St. Mary and we think of womanhood. And I guarantee you, there's going to be thousands of sermons given this Sunday about St. Mary the Mother. And we use that as a gender thing, right? St. Mary is the ideal mother. No. It's not about motherhood. It's about humanhood. Yes, fathers can be St. Mary's too. Why? Because fathers, you men, can bear love. You see, St. Mary was the bearer of God, the birth giver of God. St. Mary was the birth giver of love. Everything that Jesus Christ did in his life was about love, about compassion. Even his ultimate sacrifice for us was out of compassion, out of love. And God is calling each of us to take that example from St. Mary and become the birth givers of love. And we can do that in our lives, right? It's not about just having a child and naming it Jesus. It's about having a child that is love. Our lives, our fruit. We are the branches. We're connected to the vine. What is the fruit? What are we bearing in our lives? Are the works that we do, are the things that we do about love? Or are they just wrinkled away? That wrinkled fruit, the raisin. No! You want your life to be full, abundant, to be full of possibilities and flavor and juiciness, right? That's what we all want out of life. Well, you can do it when you're walking in love, when you're connected to love. St. Mary's example is exactly that. It's about being connected so much that she becomes this expression of the bearer of love, the bearer of God, the bearer of Christ, Asfazazin. She gave birth to God. She gave birth to love. You can now do it. You see, it's not about gender. It's about we are all human, and this is a call for all of us. We do this too many times. We get confined by the outward appearances. We look at St. Mary, we see a woman over there, we talk about the womanhood instead of about talking about the humanhood, about the humanity of St. Mary, about living a life of love, of giving love. if we're going to be talking about all this stuff that we talk about in all of the religions, whether it's peace, whether it's about harmony, whether it's about understanding, about tolerance, it all begins with the simple expression of love. We have to be able to be consumed by love. We need to be able to be connected to love. And when we are connected to love, guess what? The fruits that we bear, they're delicious because they are loving fruits. And this is where we go beyond gender. Each of us has to do this, not just the women. Now, we've heard there was a feminine side to all of us. What is that supposed to mean? That somehow females are the only ones who have this compassion, who have that soft side? In Armenian, we call it kungush. Yeah, it's a cool word, right? Kungush. It's onokomapia, right? It even sounds like it's just very soft. Kungush. No, we're all supposed to have that softness. We don't. We train our men to be tough. We train our women to be soft. And then when we go beyond that, when a man becomes soft or when a woman becomes hard, we start mistaking it with identity. Instead of saying that we are all called to this mission of love, to this compassion of love. You see, it goes beyond gender. And so when you have someone like a Bruce Jenner who gets up and he says that, hey, I'm just in the wrong body. I want to feel like a woman. And I am a woman. You know, I feel like a woman. And so it's a mental thing. It's nice. It sells copy. But isn't that the case for all of us? We should be feeling that inner expression of love. And guess what? We all have that. We are all born with it. But life takes its toll. Life gives us a slap in the face. Life has all kinds of difficulties. We're born into a world that we did not select to be born at that time, at that particular location. So there's all kinds of factors that play in. Parents maybe didn't give that kind of support, that love that we needed. Maybe our communities, our world, our countries were at war and we're in special circumstances. Maybe life... Through some curveballs, right? Yeah, it happens. Everything's perfect, and then all of a sudden, some kind of disease comes upon you. All of a sudden, a relationship goes sour. There's things as divorce. There's things as bankruptcies. All kinds of stuff that happens, right? And then you slowly disconnect from the vine. Because, hey, why should I stay in love? This world hasn't been good. And it's easier to be, well, in kind of a sour mood. Yeah, it's easier. Come on. It's easier to be mad. It's easier to throw it on somebody else. We've all know that, right? I mean, think about this whole idea of victimization. What happens? I mean, I've spoken a lot about it because in Armenian genocide discussions, you know, post-genocide thought. I mean, we're 100 years after the genocide and we're still talking as if we're victims. Yeah, I've shared this with you a lot of times. It's hard for me to believe that we're victims, especially you go to some of these rallies and you see the newer, younger generation that's being fed this victimization mentality, philosophy. Now we're victims, and you see them walking around with their iPhones. Here we go with iPhones again. Their iPhones on their ears. They're driving in their BMWs, their Mercedes, and they're victims. Now you're not a victim. You're not a victim. But it's so much easier because you get to throw responsibility elsewhere. It's somebody else's problem. Now, it doesn't work that way. Throughout life, we have all kinds of difficulties that separate us from the vine, that cut us off from love. It's very easy to be grumpy about life. It's very easy to be negative about life. But here's the challenge, and this is an incredible challenge, because if you're trying to work for those big items like peace, harmony, it begins with you. It begins with all of us. That's not a cliche. There's just no other way that the formula works. you have to be an agent of that peace. You have to be connected to that vine. You have to be connected to love. There's just no way around it. You have to be in love. And when you are, you notice that all of a sudden, you start blooming. Because what happens at that point is you start talking a new language. Your nutrients on your branches. Your branches are filled with new nutrients. Ones of love, of compassion. And you start understanding that, you know, the words that St. Paul talks about, what Jesus talks about, that love cannot die, is more powerful than the evil. You start understanding that in your life. Because the fruits that you start bearing, those grapes that you have on your leaf, on your branches, are grapes that are succulent, that are delicious, that are mouth-watering. And in the middle of any kind of heat wave, in any kind of drought, in any kind of depression, you would love to have inside of your life. It's that simple. And so connecting the dots with all of this, St. Mary is the expression of the birth giver of love. And she goes, I shared this with you last week. Check, I'll put a link on today's show notes to my video that I made about this. But it's a very simple, simple expression. Don't complicate it. St. Mary says yes to God. Despite the difficulties, right? She's a young girl. She's found pregnant. The punishment for pregnancy outside of marriage or sex outside of marriage is a stoning. That's what the punishment was for the people of that time. Okay? And I guess for some people of the time today. Yes, surprising. That's what the punishment was. St. Mary, knowing that, says yes to God. Says, how can I be pregnant? I've never been with a man. God says, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Impossible. Well, it is possible. Same thing with you in your life. There's so many impossible things. You'll say, how is that possible? It's impossible. I can't raise myself up after this disease. I can't pull up my bootstraps after this bankruptcy. I can't look at another person after my divorce. I just don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be connected. It's too hard. Impossible. But it is possible when you're connected to the vine, when you're connected to God. Because there's where you see the impossible possibilities. You see the possible impossibilities. Double talk? Maybe so. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Well, dissect it, right? It's impossible, but it's possible. It's possible, but you say it's impossible. Well, whose hands is it in? Whose expression is it? It's not God's. It's yours. You're the one who's going to make that decision. You're the one who's going to be fixing those relationships. You're the one who's going to be standing up again. And so it comes down to this very simple thing. Do you want to be the birth giver of love? God is talking to you right now, as he did to St. Mary. He's saying it not in complicated, not in biblical words,
not in those tones. That reflect the Cecil B. DeMille genre of God talking to people.
No, he's saying it to you right now. Do you want to bear love in your life? If you do, it's very easy. Just say yes to God. St. Mary did. And that's what she brings to us. That's what she offers to us this week. As we celebrate the Assumption. It's beyond gender. It's a human expression. Yes to love. Take a break right now and be back in a couple seconds.
Hi,
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We've been broadcasting for 8 years now. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thanks to all of you for your support, your love, your expressions to us, whether in the form of an email, a call, or even a donation. It goes a long way to show your support, your connection to us. I really appreciate it, and I know our whole staff does. We're moving on to some new areas, as In His Shoes. We're expanding organizationally, and I hope with our mission as well. We're going to be doing a new project coming up in a couple weeks, which is going to be a bike ride. Yeah, get ready to bike wherever you are. It's a virtual bike trip. It's going to be in support of a project for Little Ripples, providing for the people in refugee camps. Can you believe that? Refugees from the Darfuri genocide. Yeah, that's going to be coming up, and I'll be sharing that with you next week. But in the meantime, just telling you that In His Shoes is always expanding because there's always opportunities for us to walk in the shoes of others. The message that we had today is about being connected to the vine, and the vine is all about love. If you want to be connected, you need to be walking in the shoes of others. That's the ultimate expression of love, because it signifies a respect for another person, to feel someone else's pain. That's what In His Shoes is all about. So I invite you to get involved. I invite you to connect with this very unique ministry, In His Shoes, and the voice of In His Shoes, of course, epostle.net. I am going to call it a day today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to invite you to get involved with us at our website, inhisshoes.org, as well as epostle.net, as well as on Facebook. Do check out different blogs that we have, that we refer to, blogs from Harry Agopian, from Anna Harmandarian, assortment of stuff. Just connect, okay? And meanwhile, this Sunday, we want you to get connected to the true vine, which is Christ, which is love. On behalf of all those people who brought today's show to you, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off Balan Top Minutes.